We all know what an absolute advantage boys would have playing against girls.
But, sir, you have no examples of this happening.
Would you rule out legal action against these laws?
I will leave you that to the Department of Justice.
Basket, coming up on the Rainbow Minute.
When major organized religious institutions become tools of oppression, they have lost their way.
Este es tu pinchazo para la vida.
I'm not for everyone.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Uganda targets queers in its clarified penal code. Trans sports enemies fumble, but is Joe Biden his time? And the Vatican's bait and switch confounds queer youth. Those stories and more this week, now that you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending May 8, 2021. The Parliament of Uganda passed the Sexual Offenses Bill 2019 this week, again solidifying the East African nation as one of the worst places on earth to be queer. The bill clarifies the Penal Code's ban on unnatural offenses by specifying a ban on sexual acts between persons of the same gender. Those acts are equated with bestiality, and sex workers and their clients of any orientation are punished with prison time. It passed its third reading on May 3rd. The government of President Yoweri Museveni began its campaign against queer Ugandans in 2013. Global critics made the original Anti-Homosexuality Act infamous, calling it the Kill the Gays Bill because it included execution for aggravated homosexuality, repeated convictions for engaging in same-gender sex. Lawmakers eventually settled on life in prison for unnatural sex. The current version punishes consensual adult same-gender sex with up to 5 years in prison. Museveni is expected to sign it. Frank Mugisha of Sexual Minorities Uganda called the new law extreme, uncalled for, and very regrettable, and pledged to challenge this in the courts of law. The old Kill the Gays Bill was struck down by Uganda's Constitutional Court in 2014, but only on a legal technicality. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights and the US State Department were the first among global leaders to issue statements condemning the Sexual Offenses Bill.
A pair of gay dads in Croatia have won the right for same-gender couples there to adopt children. In September, Mladen Kojic and Ivo Segota became the first queer couple in the small Balkan nation to win the right to foster parent two children. Their five-year effort to become parents finally ended when the Zagreb Administrative Court ruled in late April that they should be able to fully adopt the 7 and 5-year-old little boys. Croatia has allowed same-gender couples to enter into life partnerships since 2014, but that was only after a referendum constitutionally defined civil marriage as exclusively heterosexual. A 2019 law encouraged fostering by married and unmarried heterosexual couples and single people, but the eligibility of life partners was not specified. Kojic and Segota challenged that omission in court, and that ultimately led to the fostering and adoption decisions. The dads said that they went public with their effort after clearing it with the social worker in their case. They wanted to show that queer couples are not, in their words, some kind of monsters, aliens imported from the West. But they added, "It's not about us. It's about children who deserve better care and, due to the poor work of institutions, are losing their future." A government spokesperson told Reuters that there would be no comment until the ruling is non-appealable and final.
The president of the Tonga Leitis Association was found dead on a beach near his home on May 1st. A 27-year-old man has been charged with murdering Polikalepu Kefu. The motive for the killing has not been disclosed. 41-year-old Poli, as he was known, led the association that advocates for trans and gender variant Tongans. It also provides HIV/AIDS services. Proudly gay Tongan Olympic swimmer Amini Funoa joined dozens of organizations and individuals to mourn Poli's death. He said, "It is truly a devastating day when we learn that people in the Pacific are still being murdered for simply living in their truth." Tonga is a Polynesian string of islands in the southwestern Pacific. It's among the dozens of countries around the world that continue to criminalize same-gender sex.
A gay paramedic in the Latvian city of Tukums is dead after an allegedly homophobic neighbor doused his clothes with flammable liquid and set him on fire. 29-year-old Normans Kinzulis suffered burns over more than 85% of his body. His gay friend Artis Jank Klavins was also hospitalized with burns he got trying in vain to save Kinzulis. The European Pride Organizers Association took to Twitter to proclaim Kinzulis a victim of a homophobic arson attack. Latvia's queer advocacy group Mosaika agreed. Kinzulis had left the capital city of Riga to escape death threats by moving to Tukums, about 70 kilometers away. After the April 23rd attack, he was transferred to a Riga hospital, where he died on April 28th. Jan Klavins told the local Tukums newspaper that the neighbor accused of killing Kinzulis had verbally threatened and shouted homophobic slogans at them a number of times. He said the pair had filed complaints with the police, but there was no investigation. "We had to wait for someone to be mutilated or killed," he said. No arrests in the case have been reported.
Here's this week's scorecard of Republican-controlled U.S. state legislatures competing to pass bans on transgender athletes in school sports. The Kansas Senate failed to override Democratic Governor Laura Kelly's veto of their trans ban. Committees in the Texas and Louisiana Houses of Representatives each refused to advance similar bills. Tennessee's legislature is currently leading the Republican charge against queer and transgender youth with a trifecta of nastiness. One bill allows parents to pull their kids out of sex education classes that include discussions of sexual orientation or gender identity. Another would outlaw gender-affirming care for trans minors. Top those off with a bill to require businesses to post signs alerting the public that they allow transgender people to use their bathrooms.
Finally, on a different note,
I'm like Scotch inside of gold bands. I'm like Visa Towns fans, and I'm always speaking my mind when I'm better off biting my tongue. I'm a banjo at the wrong time. Hell, I'm a legend of my own mind. I'm too close, but I'm not for everyone. Yeah, I'm too close, but I'm not for everyone.
Tennessee Senate Republicans unanimously approved a resolution to honor Osborne Brothers lead singer T.J. Osborne as a trailblazer in country music. Osborne came out in a Time magazine interview earlier this year. However, the measure was effectively killed by the state House Republican caucus chair, Jeremy Faison, who lodged a procedural challenge. Faison's long record of anti-queer statements and votes make his procedural objections seem far too convenient. Kacey Musgraves joined other country stars to publicly condemn the pettiness. Osborne Brothers musical collaborator Maren Morris retweeted a statement from the progressive news outlet Tennessee Holler that said Faison blocked the honor for the gay country star for no reason other than blatant bigotry and spite. So much hate in our state.
I'm not for everyone.
That's News Wrap. Global Queer News with Attitude for the week ending May 8th, 2021. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is recording remotely during the COVID-19 emergency. It's written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can read the transcript and listen to NewsWrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio channel on YouTube. For This Way Out, I'm John Dyer V. Stay healthy.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry. Stay safe.
Many gay couples have pets as close companions. Such was the case with Gertrude Stein and Alice B. Toklas.
We'll bark up that tree later in the program.
You need to support your answer with a text. You can show your evidence. You need to support your answer with a text. Now you can show your evidence.
Evidence has not been a staple of U.S. Republican politics in so many ways, and the state-level attacks on the rights of trans people make great examples. MSNBC's Stephanie Ruhle demonstrated how true that is when she tied up West Virginia Governor Jim Justice in the backcourt of his own ignorance.
The law you just signed banning transgender female athletes from playing on women's school sports teams. Can you name one example of a transgender child trying to gain an unfair competitive advantage at a school there in West Virginia?
I can't really tell you one, but I can tell you this. I coach a girls' basketball team, and I can tell you that there, you know, we all know what an absolute advantage boys would have playing against girls.
But, sir, you have no examples of this happening.
This is not like it's a big priority to me. In fact, I think we only have 12 kids maybe in our state that are transgender type kids. I mean, for crying out loud, Stephanie, I signed hundreds of bills. This is not a priority to me. And but with all that, I would say, I think that it would impose an unfair disadvantage on the girls. And so from that standpoint, I support it.
All right then, sir. Thank you. And please come back when beyond anecdotal feelings as a coach, you can show me evidence where those young women are being disadvantaged in your state. Thanks for your time.
You can show your evidence.
Transgender Americans watching at home, especially young people, you're so brave. I want you to know your president has your back.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki tried to put some substance on the bones of Biden's pledge this week under questioning by the Washington Blade's Chris Johnson.
On the president's speech to Congress last week, he told transgender youth he has their backs. And the president made these remarks in the context of states enacting laws against transgender youth, including a measure the Tennessee governor signed just today requiring parental notification on LGBTQ inclusive school curricula. The president's inclusion of transgender people in his speech to Congress is significant in and of itself, but what will the president having their backs look like going forward?
Well, certainly the president has put in place, has signed executive orders. He's also used the power of the bully pulpit and his presidency to convey that transgender rights are human rights, and that is his belief and the view of his administration and how he expects policies to be implemented. That includes ensuring that transgender youth have the opportunity to play sports and to be treated equally in states across the country. So he will look to members of his administration to implement what his view is and what his value is as president.
Would you rule out legal action against these laws going forward as part of that?
I will leave you that to the Department of Justice.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki. The Department of Justice has yet to take any action against state anti-trans bills. However, Alfonso David of the Human Rights Campaign told the Daily Beast that his advocacy organization is working closely with the Biden administration as it considers a variety of ways it can respond.
Coming to terms with your sexual orientation and gender identity can already be difficult. And if your religious leader says that acting on the way you feel is sinful, it can make self-acceptance even harder.
The Spirit is willing, but the Church is weak. Later in the program. But first...
How much is that doggy in the window? The one waggly tail. How much is that doggy in the window? I do hope that doggy is for sale.
And what stories one doggy for sale could tell?
Basket, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. Many gay couples have pets as close companions. Such was the case with Gertrude Stein and Alice B. Toklas, the infamous Parisian pair whose home was a hangout for famous artists and writers. Gertrude and Alice made their own family of three with their dog Basket, a cuddly, playful thing they liked taking on walks. Alice claimed that purchasing the dog was Gertrude's idea. She said they named the dog Basket because Gertrude hoped he would carry a basket of flowers in his mouth. Stein asked the name be spoken with the accent on the last syllable, as would a French speaker who doesn't know English might say it, making it a French word with no particular meaning. Their good friend Paul Bowles said they actually had three dogs over the years with the same name, Basket 1, Basket 2, and Basket 3. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Jennifer Noel Catton.
I do hope that doggy's for sale.
First you get down on your knees, fiddle with your rosaries, bow your head with great respect and genuflect, genuflect, genuflect. Do whatever steps you want if you have cleared them with the pontiff. Everybody say his own, Kyrie eleison, doing the Vatican right.
The Vatican has been pelted by protests ever since the March pronouncement against blessing same-gender unions. Dozens of German priests are planning to hold virtual blessings of queer couples in defiance of the ban. Meanwhile, a Catholic research group has released a study arguing that the alleged biblical condemnations of homosexuality are based on misinterpretations and mistranslations. And young people in Belgium are leaving the church en masse. The Outcasting Overtime crew is echoing their complaints.
This is Outcasting Overtime, from Media for the Public Good, creator of Public Radio's LGBTQ youth programs. Hi, I'm Isha, an Outcasting youth participant. In recent years, Pope Francis has seemed to extend a welcoming hand to gay Catholics. He's been seen as a relatively progressive pope regarding homosexuality. One of his noteworthy statements occurred when he was asked about gay priests in the Vatican hierarchy in a press conference in 2013. He famously said, "Who am I to judge them? They're our brothers." Later, in 2016, Pope Francis responded warmly to a question relating to gay Catholics, saying, "People should not be defined only by their sexual tendencies. Let us not forget that God loves all his creatures and we are destined to receive his infinite love." Even without recognizing or celebrating same-sex marriages, the Pope's accepting tone towards gay Catholics has been greeted with enthusiasm by LGBTQ Catholics worldwide, especially in light of the highly anti-gay positions of his immediate predecessor, Pope Benedict XVI, who harshly labeled homosexuality as a manipulation of nature that destroys the essence of the human creature. So, many people were unpleasantly surprised this past March when the Vatican issued an official statement, approved by Pope Francis, declaring that the Catholic Church would not bless same-sex unions because God cannot bless sin. We don't know what prompted the church's statement. The Pope's earlier pronouncements seem to indicate a softening of anti-LGBTQ attitudes within the church, but maybe that assessment was too optimistic. Perhaps his new statement was made to appease more conservative forces in the Catholic Church. Perhaps he got some backlash when he made his earlier statements. We like to think that as time goes on, the world is only getting better on LGBTQ issues, but this statement from the church reminds us that this just isn't true. Many lay members of the Catholic Church don't follow its official teachings on issues like birth control, premarital sex, and divorce, and many don't share the church's beliefs about LGBTQ people. But for those who do, this latest statement confirms the church's lack of evolution and gives people who are homophobic and transphobic a renewed sense that their anti-LGBTQ prejudices are justified. I didn't grow up in the Catholic Church, and I don't have any friends or family who are devout Catholics, so I don't feel influenced by the church, but I can certainly sympathize with LGBTQ people who either have a lot of Catholic influences in their lives or are Catholic themselves. If you're LGBTQ, coming to terms with your sexual orientation and gender identity can already be difficult, and if your religious leader, in this instance, the Pope, says that acting on the way you feel is sinful, it can make self-acceptance even harder. The church also has considerable influence beyond its borders. Its March statement will likely lead to an increase in internalized homophobia, self-hatred over being LGBTQ, in many parts of the LGBTQ community, including non-Catholics. More young people in particular may be sent to conversion therapy, a widely discredited and often harmful practice that attempts to turn gay people straight. This practice often leaves people vulnerable to depression, anxiety, homelessness, drug use, and suicide. We did a series on conversion therapy. You can hear it on our website, outcastingmedia.org. The church's statement adds fuel to the fire for anti-LGBTQ hate groups that use religion as a basis for their belief that LGBTQ people are dangerous. In the United States, LGBTQ people still don't have equal rights in much of the country, and the church's statement is certainly not going to help that situation. So it can make things worse for all of us, even if we have nothing to do with the Catholic Church. Things can be even worse in other countries. In Poland, for example, the Catholic Church has enormous influence, with Catholics making up about 90% of the population. Many Poles believe that the Pope is more than just a religious leader, and see the church as a symbol of resistance against the country's past occupations and authoritarian regimes. Some 100 Polish towns, cities, and regions have passed anti-LGBTQ laws and declared themselves to be LGBT-free zones. It's not hard to imagine the difficulties and pressures that LGBTQ people there have to face. Organized religion likes to think of itself as a source of spiritual nourishment. Followers of organized religion like to think of themselves as loving and accepting. But when major organized religious institutions become tools of oppression, they have lost their way. How can they say they're about love when they reject people simply because of who they are? So much of religion seems to be about controlling people's lives, and in particular, regulating sexuality. If organized religion could get past the controlling part and try to find commonalities among people, to bring spiritual harmony into their lives instead of dividing them and setting them against each other, maybe we'd have a more peaceful world. It's certainly true that people and religious organizations can believe whatever they want, at least in countries where religious liberty is protected. And this includes prejudices against LGBTQ people. They're free to do that. But when they're homophobic or transphobic, we're equally free to call it out as bigotry. It doesn't matter whether that bigotry is based in religious beliefs or just plain hatred. Whichever the cause, bigotry is bigotry, and it has the same intended and actual effects, burdening LGBTQ people with self-hatred, possibly causing LGBTQ youth to become homeless when their families throw them away for being LGBTQ, far too often driving LGBTQ youth to despair and even suicide. If organized religion wants to be seen as a force of good in the world, something that it very often isn't, then shouldn't it apologize for its history of oppression of LGBTQ people and turn into a place that really tolerates, accepts, and loves all of its members, even those who are LGBTQ? Thanks for listening to Outcasting Overtime, from Outcasting Media, creator of Public Radio's LGBTQ youth programs. Outcasting Media is created by Media for the Public Good, based in New York. This piece was created by the Outcasting team, including Lil, Tim, Justin, and me, Isha. Our executive producer is Mark Sofis. Visit us at outcastingmedia.org to get information about Outcasting, watch Outcasting videos, access our social media links, and listen to Outcasting and related content. You can also find Outcasting on Spotify, Audible, Radio Public, and other major podcast platforms. Thanks, and thanks for listening.
Ave Maria, gee, it's good to see you. Getting ecstatic and sort of dramatic and doing the Vatican right.
Last, but far from least.
Rise up, rise up. It's time to take a shot. Rise up. It's time to take a shot. Rise up. Take a shot. 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 Take a shot. Take a shot.
COVID-19 vaccine scarcity is a problem in much of the world. But in the U.S. and other developed countries, vaccine hesitancy is a stumbling block for a variety of reasons. Gay actor Wilson Cruz added his voice in Spanish and in English to an outreach project sponsored by the Creative Coalition and the National Blue Ribbon Task Force to stem COVID-19 vaccine hesitancy.
Yo me vacuné porque nosotros ya hemos perdido bastante de nuestra comunidad negra y latina. Son muchos que no pueden estar aquí para celebrar las bodas, las quinceañeras y graduaciones. Pero la vacuna es casi 100% efectiva para prevenir la hospitalización y la muerte por COVID. Sí, es difícil creer que algo así se haya desarrollado tan rápido, pero sabemos que quitaron los obstáculos, pero no la ciencia. Puede parecer aterrador vacunarse, pero el COVID es más aterrador. Póngase la vacuna, es por tu vida. Este es tu pinchazo para la vida. I got my COVID vaccine, and I want you to get it too, because we've already lost too many of our black and brown people, too many who can't be there for weddings, quinceañeras, and these vaccines are nearly 100% effective. And yes, it's hard to trust something that seemed to be developed so fast, but know this, they cut red tape, not science. So get the vaccine, be there for your life. This is your shot.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Tanya Kane Berry and John Dyer V, produced by Brian DeShazer, from Jennifer Noel Catton, produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns, and from Outcaster Isha, produced by Mark Sofis. Some of the music you heard was performed by Rock to the Core, John Mayer, Patti Page, Tom Lehrer, and from the Broadway show Hamilton. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks to Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, a bequest from Christopher David Prentham, and donors John Beaupre and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 4NSA Newsheads Queensland, WREK Atlanta, Georgia, KRFP Moscow, Idaho, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned.